Here's the first question that comes to my mind, and Jim and I have been debating this now for 2 days. I have such a hard time with these contracts. I'm sure as an agent, you love to see your players get that kind of money, get that kind of term. But what comes to my mind almost immediately is how on earth, heading into a renegotiation of a collective bargaining agreement, are owners going to be able to cry poor when they're handing out money like it's Halloween candy?
Well, they always attempt to cry poor when there's a new collective bargaining agreement to be negotiated. But your point is right. Things never cease to amaze me when it comes to professional sports and business coming from the owner's side. Here we have an owner just 8 weeks ago or 6 weeks ago who was crying poor. Craig Leopold came out publicly and said that the system is broken and we need to fix it and we're losing money. And yesterday he was proud as a peacock signing these Zach Parise and Suter. And so it all comes down to the wants and needs of ownership and what do they need to compete. And what do they want, and what do they want to try and get from the players? And so it's something that everybody should be aware of, that here he's doing business, he's enjoying his business, he's an owner of an NHL team, and he signed these two players at his own will, and next week he may be saying something else. In fact, today in New York, he's part of the bargaining committee for the National Hockey League, and I'm sure he'll be part of a group saying this system doesn't work, and that's not fair to the players.
But Ian, as an agent, you must hear from some of your clients that they're kind of happy about this deal because there's a potential that they may be in a position someday to sign a long-term big money deal.
All the players should be happy about these deals. It's good for the players. It's good for the game. It's good to see great players go play in Minnesota. It's good for the small markets. Carolina was involved in the bidding. Nashville was involved in the bidding for players. So it actually ties into what Gary Bettman has been saying, and that is National Hockey League revenues are at an all-time high. They're over $3 billion a year. The sport seems and appears to be healthy when the Carolina Hurricanes and the Nashville Predators and the Minnesota Wild are leading the charge to sign these players, and it's all good. And it should continue that way. And the owners have a system in place that's very restrictive right now. I think there's 6 or 7 caps on players' salaries, and they don't need anything more.
Without giving away too many trade secrets, I'm hoping, Ian, you can share some insight for us, because, again, it's been a subject of discussion, particularly when we look at Steve Nash in the NBA right now taking less money to go to the Los Angeles Lakers instead of coming to the Toronto Raptors. So the suggestion is, and I think it makes sense, that he is choosing a winning environment as opposed to just going after the money. For the players that you represent, when it comes to contract negotiations, has a player ever sat down with you and said, listen, I want to get to a winning environment, and they may put money as a secondary consideration? Or even if it's not a winning environment, maybe they want to play close to home? Or are there other factors that will sometimes be prioritized ahead of the financial terms of the contract?
I think there's a whole host of factors that go into play on everyone's deals, and it's not just all about the money. I think it's for some it is. There's no question about it. When Steve Nash has signed multiple deals and probably has a fortune of $50 to $100 million, and I'm speculating, he can do whatever he wants. Zach Parise and Ryan Suter were drafted at 18 years old and were part of an organization both at the same time for, I believe, 9 years. I think they're 27 or 28 years old. And when it comes down to it, they had the ability to choose where they wanted to play and for what amount, essentially. And it was a big amount. And I believe they both went back to their home states or close there too. So that's the same issue that Steve Nash was evaluating, and good for him. You only get to work for a certain defined amount of time as a professional athlete, and those are very important factors when determining where they want to play and for how much.
Ian, I know one of the big topics of conversation for the new CBA will be term limits on contract lengths by agents and players and GMs. Do you have a sense of how many years they'd like to cap it at?
Well, I can tell you that back in 2004, the owners, because I was part of the negotiation, put a proposal to cap the length of contract. And there were some in the union office that were pretty close there, too, to agreeing to it. There were others, myself and Steve Larmer included, that were against that notion because they had cap on all forms of compensation already, and it wasn't necessary. So I would believe that the owners are going to make a proposal of some sort to have that an extra cap on length of contract. I don't believe it's necessary. I believe that they're measured against the whole population of NHL players. There aren't too many guys that have contracts that extend beyond 10 years. And for those that do, it's buyer beware, really. It's good for the player. It could be bad for the player. And it could be good for the owner and bad for the owner. And people will have to adjust. So I'm hoping that the union stands firm on the position that there will be no cap on contract. It's a useful tool for both players and clubs.
Speaking with Ian Pulver of Pulver Sports, he is our Sportsnet 590 insider for JB Goodhue. Ian, I want to get a sense of some of the players you have in your stable right now, including a couple that are at the Leafs prospect camp. They would be the Rupert twins, Ryan and Matt, came up through the London Knights organization. I got a chance to watch them a ton, and of course, this past season, and they had a great run right to the Memorial Cup final. Coming through the London Knights organization, many talk about it being very much a pro system. We know that the OHL has a pretty similar schedule to the pro schedule with 68 games and a lot of back-to-backs and things like that. But Ryan and Matt coming through an organization like that, does that better prepare them to make the next step?
I think that the Hunters do an excellent job preparing the players. We must remember that very few make it to the next level. Most all OHL teams do a real nice job preparing. The Hunters have a great setup, a pro-like environment in London. To go to the games it's a mini NHL. That does help the boys prepare for the pressures of playing in front of people and the rigors of the schedule, and it's a long haul for them. But those are the twins, the Rupert twins are two boys that are focused and determined, and only time will tell where their career takes them. But generally the CHL as a whole does a nice job for the players, but the players also have to make sure they get their education too.
And just a final quick note, acknowledging, of course, like you just said, not everybody makes it, but you've got another guy in the stable in Alex Galchenyuk, who's as blue chip as they come. In fact, some had him rated higher than Nail Yakupov coming into this draft because he's that good. What's it like with a player that you know is going to be a surefire hit?
Well, I want to say he's going to be a surefire hit, and he should be. We went through it with Tyler Seguin. There's ups and downs, and they generally persevere. They're excellent, excellent athletes for starters, and their mindsets, the Galchenyuks and the Yakupovs mindsets are 24/7 wanting to be the best. And that's what sticks out for these top athletes, that they want to be the best and they want to compete against the best. And they have a talent that is second to none. And so it's interesting to watch, but at the same time, the flip side is that the Martin St. Louis of the world or the Matt Molsons are fun to watch. I don't represent them, but, you just never know. But these kids have a head start based on their work ethic, their talent level, and their will to be the best.